Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that school bell, go get your Bible, and this time, turn to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. Now, if you were following along in the last class, you may have that marked in your Bible. Zephaniah, chapter 3. And we're going to continue the following outline that was left to us by the departed preacher, James R. McGill, on the living message of Zephaniah. And as we look at this outline, it'll guide us through this reading. And so we'll do that in just a moment. While you're turning to Zephaniah chapter 3, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. If you come, let us know that you heard about this on the radio and that you're one of the students of the Warren County Radio Bible School, because we like to recognize those who are. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now let's get to our Bible school lesson. This is the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3. We've been talking about how Zephaniah spoke of the destruction to come on Jerusalem and Judea in chapter 1. Of his admonition to repentance at the beginning of chapter 2, and how that the Gentile nations will also be punished in the latter part of Zephaniah chapter 2. And now we come to Zephaniah chapter 3, and he is going to describe the condition of Jerusalem. And this is not a good description of Jerusalem at this time. He is going to say, in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, woe to her that is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in Jehovah. She drew not near to her God. Her princes in the midst of her are roaring lions. Her judges are as evening wolves. They leave nothing till the morrow. And so he talks about those princes, judges, prophets, and priests that are corrupt. In Zephaniah 3 and verse 4, her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have profaned the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. And then God's righteousness is going to stand in sharp contrast to these corruptors. We read in Zephaniah 3 and verse 5, Jehovah in the midst of her is righteous. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his justice to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. And so God's punishment is going to come on the heathen as a warning, an example that is unheeded by Jerusalem. In Zephaniah 3, verses 6 through 7, I have cut off the nations. Their battlements are desolate. I have made their streets waste, so that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, so that there is no inhabitant. I said, only fear thou me, receive correction, so her dwelling shall not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. But they rose early, and corrupted all their doings. Yet we're going to read about a restoration after a return from their captivity. After devastation, the people will serve God. Zephaniah 3, verses 8 and 9. Therefore wait ye for me, saith Jehovah, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. And then there'll come a time, according to Zephaniah, after this destruction, in which pride and haughtiness will no longer exist. Zephaniah 3, verses 10 and 11. For I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon my name, saith Jehovah, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supplicants, even the daughter of my dispersion, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be put to shame for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take out of the midst of thee thy proudly exalting ones, and thou shalt no more be haughty in my holy mountain. This remnant that will come from Judah will be secure. Zephaniah 3, verses 12 through 13. But I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of Jehovah. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. And this, we see from Zephaniah, is going to be a time of joy. Zephaniah 3, 14 through 19. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, and be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Jehovah hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The king of Israel, even Jehovah, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not fear any more. And we read then that, continuing this day of joy, in verse going down through verse 19, Zephaniah 3, 16 through 19. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, O Zion. Let not thy hands be slack, for Jehovah thy God is in the midst of thee, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that sorrow for the solemn assembly, who were of thee, to whom the burden upon her was a reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all them that afflict thee. I will save that which is lame, and gather that which is driven away, and I will make them a praise and a name whose shame hath been in all the earth. And then the return from captivity is specifically addressed in the very last verse, Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 20. At that time I will bring you in, and at that time I will gather you, and I will make you a name and praise among all the peoples of the earth, when I bring back your captivity before your eyes, saith Jehovah. And so we have read the entirety of the book of Zephaniah. And someday when we get beyond those great gates and rest in our heavenly abode, I hope to thank James McGill for providing that outline for us, that we might be able to study these things. But I want to turn your attention to one particular verse in the book of Zephaniah, and that is Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. For then will I turn to the peoples a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of Jehovah and serve him with one consent. E. A. Elam wrote a Sunday school lesson that included this passage, and he had somewhat to say about it. And we're going to read that from a Sunday school lesson he wrote for the Sunday of October the 28th, 1923. Elam says, the previous part of this chapter pronounces destruction upon Jerusalem and the nations. Instead of repenting, the people of Judah rose early and corrupted their doings. For this reason God determined to pour out his indignation and fierce anger upon them, and to devour all the land with the fire of his jealousy. Then will God turn to the peoples a pure language, that they may call upon the name of Jehovah, to serve him with one consent, Zephaniah 3 and verse 9. Those who worshipped idols could not worship God in a pure language, language free from idolatrous expressions. Their language had become corrupted. When the Jews married women of Ashdod, their children spoke half the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 24. You see, Ashdod was a chief Philistine city. The Jews remained in Babylonian captivity so long that they seemed to have forgotten their own language, to the extent that when they returned to Jerusalem, they did not understand their own law when read to them, and their language had to be translated into the language which they used, which was the Chaldean dialect. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. This verse of this lesson declares that when the Jews should repent and turn to God, he would restore to them a pure language, so that there would be no confusion, and all could call upon him with one consent. Eventually, this would be true, and the restorations with which this chapter promises, which, it seems, embraces even the coming of Christ. Then the remnant of Israel shall do no iniquity, and speak no lies, and use no deceitful tongue, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid, Zephaniah 3 and verse 13. True people of God do not lie, do not practice deceptions, do no iniquity, but are sincere and honest, and speak every one truth with his neighbor. Nehemiah goes on to admonish us and tells us that pure language is needed today. The people of various religious denominations or parties of today speak denominational or sectarian language. Some who have recently come out of denominational Babylon do not fully understand the pure language of the New Testament. To all such, this language has to be explained. Some of the church, who seem to desire to be like denominations, speak about half and half the language of the New Testament and human denominational language, if they do not persist in using the latter. Thousands of young people in the church seem to not know the import of the language of Ashdod, nor the necessity of pure language. There is not that effort made today to restore the church the pure language of the New Testament that was made just a half a century ago. Some seem to make an effort, on the contrary, to use language of the New Testament in a denominational sense. The church itself is so used by some, so is pastor, minister, evangelist, and the very work of the church is denominationalized. Not that these terms are not Bible terms, but they're Bible terms that are being used to refer to something other than Bible things. Can there not be simply and only the church of the New Testament in its fullness, with all it comprehends, with all its complete mission, with all its workers engaged in their respective activities, and without religious titles and denominational parallels and practices? Words are the signs of ideas, and God knows what to say. And so we need to focus on learning how to speak as God speaks in the New Testament, and let our preaching and our speech reflect the very definitions that we find that are given to us by their context in the use of the Scriptures. If we can restore a pure language, we can restore a pure doctrine. If we can restore a pure doctrine, we can restore pure Christianity. And if we can do that, we can restore the pure church of Christ. And that is what we are interested in. come by and visit us at Rock Cliff and help us do so.